It's a Conversion Conference edition of the Conversion Scientist Podcast. Today I'm interviewing Joanna Weeb.
It's Weeb.
Of CopyHackers.com. I asked Joanna to help me prepare for my Conversion Conference presentation, creating killer conversion copy, emails, landing pages, PPC ads, and more. And I thought you might enjoy listening to the conversation we had. You can save $100 on the Conversion Conference by visiting the Conversion Scientist, www.conversionscientist.com, and clicking on the Conversion Conference badge. I don't know if you saw the description of my presentation in the... So that gives you an idea of the angle I'm going. To tell you the truth, I've been doing a lot of writing, and I do a lot of editing, and I comment on copy and stuff, but I do not consider myself the kind of copywriter that could teach someone how to copyright. So my angle is going to really be that the best thing you can do is hire a good copywriter and talk about what you would expect from a good copywriter, how you can recognize that they're writing good copy from you, how you can measure them. And I think I'm going to take that direction, and hopefully the crowd will not be too very disappointed with that direction.
Okay, that sounds cool. Yeah, I think it's really saying something that you consider yourself someone who wouldn't be prepared to teach people about copy. That's a really awesome attitude, I think. Most people think once they know something, they'll just go tell everybody in the world about it and be a teacher.
Well, in all honesty, I'm plenty guilty of telling people about stuff that... that I've learned from other people and maybe haven't tried myself. I think probably the most important thing is a definition of copy. What do you consider copy? Is it text? Is it more than text?
Yeah, I have a definition of copy that I use in my ebooks, and I worked it out after giving it much thought and consideration and trying different variations on it. That said, the actual definition slips my mind, so I'm just going back.
Actually, I have read your definition.
You have.
You're a little bit apologetic about it, but not flinching.
Oh well, there you go. That's generally how I am.
Go ahead.
So what is my definition?
Go ahead and say it for me, because I haven't got it in front of me.
So what I say is that copywriting is using, and I am reading it now, but I'll stand behind it unapologetically this time, is using words, typography, punctuation, and images to communicate your messages in ways that will engage your visitors. Now, images feels like a big, like, what is that doing in there? But that's really, in my opinion, and from what I've seen that works, I think that pages convert best when the copy is supported by the design rather than the copy being fit into the design. So generally, that's where images, to me, it feels like most designers that are really great at the job are also really savvy copywriters, even if they never write a word, simply because they're able to take what's there and take the message and understand what the most important things are and elevate those things visually, right? Make them prominent in the visual hierarchy. And so that's where I feel that fits in with copywriting. But outside of that, it's just, I think it's simply using words and typography and punctuation to communicate your messages in ways that, again, engage visitors. So you think they're your messages, but they're really messages that your visitors most want to see in the way they want to see it. But ultimately, it's not just about your visitor's message, because it has to be true to your business too, so it still is your message. I know that's like a convoluted, terrible definition, but...
See, you're apologizing again, but I don't think it's
terrible. Oh, is that what I do?
There you go.
Right, that's what I do.
I don't think it's convoluted. Now, I want you to say it a little more slowly, A, so I can get it down here, and B, so that if we do share this with other folks, they will hear it clearly.
So I'll just repeat it, okay?
Yeah.
Point by point. So copywriting is using words, typography, punctuation, and images to communicate your messages in ways that will engage your visitors. And again, the first part of that statement is basically how you say what you want to say. The second part is around communicating your messages is what you want to say. And the final part is what your visitors want to see and how they want to see it. So the two sides the message itself, and then how that message is communicated.
So you said something that I wanna key on, which may not directly relate to copy, but it is the visual hierarchy. This is something that I talk about, and not being a designer, I talk a little bit about it out of school. What is it? What is a visual hierarchy in your mind?
In my mind, well, I say visual hierarchy, and I'm really thinking about your messaging hierarchy. And if you Google messaging hierarchy, I come up first, as I have for years with a really terrible PowerPoint slide. Whatever. To me, a visual hierarchy is just the placement of images or text with, it's just the level of prominence that you apply to each. So as a person would work down the page, as the visitor would read down a page or across the site through flow, it's really the prominence that you give to the messages. Again, I'm a copywriter, so I'm going to lead with messages when I talk. The prominence that you give to that a designer, that a web manager, whatever it is, gives to a message, most commonly on the page.
And the goal is that if I scan or as I'm moving through, I'm understanding what's most important, or it's organizing things for a series of messages that help me get a total understanding, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and really organizing things to get noticed, right? I mean, everybody knows about the F pattern. It's almost ugly to say it now. Like, it's old brother. But you know, a visual hierarchy is about, in my opinion, I think it works best when it's trying to draw the eye to the right things. And we all know that there's a hierarchy to the messages that you want to have visitors see, right? The most important messages, you want your headline, most likely, if it's any good at least, to be noticed first. People are going to be going there anyway, so what kind of visual prominence do you give to it so their eye goes straight to it? And the subhead below it, and if you have, you know, what's your next most important message? Is it important to draw people's eye to your button? If so, are you just making a big red button, or are you and don't you have something on your site about that?
I did a poem to the big red button. Yes.
Oh. That's awesome. So it's that, right? And so, but you could make a big red button, or you could surround it, knowing that the eye is going to go to the big red button. If that's the case,
mm-hmm.
What messages do you put next to it? Because those messages are most important to see. Do you put, you know, some sort of social proof statement to help people click that button.
Mm-hmm.
So those sorts of things, right? Where are you putting the messages? If you just put them all in the same font size, in gray, just lined up down the page, we all know that's not going to work. So you have to have that messaging hierarchy in mind and have it work with the visuals on the page so things get noticed. Yes.
Got it. Well, let's just to make sure that we're on the same page about what we're talking about, because you are making very very quick switches between visual, image, copy, that sort of thing.
Okay.
And I think actually a holistic approach is going to be a big win for folks that you work with. Pinterest homepage is a big button to join and a whole bunch of pictures. Is that copy?
Oh, wow, what a question. I actually just wrote an entire newsletter for Dilati. I think that's how it's pronounced, actually. It's a new magazine for designers, and it's by the woman who did noude.com. I don't know how that's pronounced either. I can't pronounce anything. Anyway, and that sold to Smashing. Anyway, she's got this new magazine, and her most recent issue was on Pinterest.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been giving that exact question, actually, a lot of thought. What does it mean for a page today that, you know, is getting so much attention in the design world, in all worlds, but particularly for people who are interested in web design and the future of it? What does it mean that the new, you know, the leading design right now is really focused on images and not focused so much on copy at all? Copy, there's, as you know, there's like just a little bit of text and it's all the same size, things like that go below the pinned image. So, is it copy? Is it it's messaging, but I don't know that I would say it's. I might be a stickler on it. I don't think it's. What do you think?
I don't know what to think, but I am very intrigued by the. So if you work with startups, you probably work with a lot of online services,
yes,
I assume.
Yeah.
We have a lot of that here in Austin as well. And the question always comes up is, what do we say? And a lot of these online services now have social components. And the message I've been saying to them is, you know, if you can bring the user-generated or other content to the home page, which is the landing page for these sorts of services, these sorts of sites, and let the content do the talking for you, that's going to be your most effective copy platform. So are there, you know, pictures of people's faces that you can bring to the home page because they're interacting inside your site? Is there some data that you can pull from inside your site that, you know, number of X's served, that sort of thing for social proof, but bringing what the site generates to the homepage and letting that do the selling for you is a great place to start. And then you go and look at Pinterest and you're like, whoa, that proves my point. In a certain context, I'm sure it does.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I do think that some of the best copywriting is copywriting that the customer does, the consumer does, you know, without realizing that they're doing a copywriting, right? Like you say, if someone tweets about you, if someone's blogging about you, or whatever it might be, right? Or if someone just gives you a review, any number of things that come from, not from someone you hired, but from people who really believe or have used it, used your service or believe in it, or have lost belief in it, and that, of course, isn't great necessarily customer-facing messaging, but it's good to feed into better copy that, of course, than you would probably write. But yeah, I agree with you that some of the, you know, best messages are in the social spaces, and I do think, I would feel comfortable saying myself that that an image can be absolutely a message. I don't feel comfortable saying that it's copy though, and I don't know. Maybe there's a silly, you know, antiquated idea that I have in my head about, you know, copy must be chiseled in stone or something, but images can be too. So that's not true. I don't know what it is, but I would hesitate to say that an image is copy. Message, yes, copy.
When folks come to me and say I want to make this page convert better, and I ask them a little bit about who their personas are, and then read the copy, I can say, well, you have a messaging problem here. You need to hire a copywriter. That's usually my recommendation. Am I being extreme? Now, I know that, of course, you're paid to write copy, and so you're going to be biased. But think about your clients, and is that the right response? Or if someone's diligent and reads the right books, can they do a fairly good job?
I think if someone's diligent and they read the right books and they care about the message, they care about copy, I think you have to care about the words that you're putting on the page and ultimately about the people who are seeing, right? I think if there's that and you're committed to it, I've thought a lot about what makes a good copywriter, especially as I've built up my own slowly growing small team. I have really kind of exacting standards for what I think a copywriter should be, and I probably don't even meet those at all, but nonetheless.
When you're the boss, you don't have to.
That's right. but I do think that you can definitely learn how to do copywriting. A person can, it's probably better to try to focus on a certain type of copywriting if they're going to, you know, buy a book, because as you know, right, there's so many different types of copy you can write, especially as, you know, content marketing gets more and more important to businesses. There's the different, you know, articles and things like that. You can become a great blogger if you're going to focus on writing a blog. You can become a great article writer or an email writer or a long form sales writer. Or someone who works primarily on websites, say, for startups. You can, if you're going to focus on one thing, I think you have stand a much better chance of being able to become a good, solid copywriter by focusing on one rather than trying to do everything. And, you know, of course, some books will help you with that. I do think that there's a bit of a natural talent. Maybe that natural talent is about caring, too. Like, if you're born or you're raised to care about the written word and what it can do, that can help a lot. And of course, just being in sales, and if you like making money, that whole mindset shift from being a writer to being someone who sells product, who moves units, if you can get your head around that, suddenly you get like a bit of a rush at the idea of increasing your conversion rate of being a salesperson rather than just a copywriter, just a wordsmith or whatever it might be. Does that answer your question? Yes, I do think you can learn from a book. I do think that it's better if you focus in that case. Ultimately, if you want to get really solid copy, if you don't have the time to dedicate to it and you don't really love it and you don't want to be a salesperson, you're probably best to go seek out a really, really solid copywriter with a great portfolio.
I think most of the folks that are going to be in the conversion conference presentation are going to be very focused on conversion rate optimization, which I assume is going to tell us that they are really relying on their site to generate leads and sales, or the sales that come from those leads. So I'm going to imagine that they're in that place where they need a persuasive messaging platform, if you want to genericize the copy that way. An experience, obviously, I have had is clients hire copywriters, even if I've told them, you need a copywriter, you can't do this yourself. Mm-hmm. And they hire what I can only term as a post-traumatic stress disorder copywriter. Who has been hired by corporations and probably written beautiful copy and then had it passed around to the VP of marketing, maybe the CEO, the director of marketing. And by the time it comes back, it has been sapped of all color, metaphor, fantastically large adverbs have been added. And I think after a while, they just say, well, that must be what the clients want. That's what I'll give them.
Yeah, I'm sure you experienced that too as a consultant, right? I can assume, I mean, I've seen clients take an entire page that's been well thought through, wireframed with the copywriter and designer working together and a great, it looks perfect. It looks like from a conversion consultant's perspective, yay, right? Like it's a really good one, especially the test. And even in a world where they know they're A/B testing it, right? There will be a control that 50% or more will still see. So there's so much less risk for a client in a case like that where they're going to be A/B testing it, and yet they still come back with, a lot of changes. They forget that they've hired you for your expertise. And so is that something that you experience at least?
I'm rarely hired as a copywriter, but I have done my fair share. And yes, my question for you though is how do you defend that? So you've done the research, you've written something that'll be persuasive given what you know about the audience, and they come back and they want to make it sound safer, styrofoam.
I don't know what a large. I know that when I worked internally at Intuit, that was definitely a challenge. And that was actually one of the reasons that that a person doesn't want to work internally anymore, where it's all passed up to the CEO, not in this case, not for Intuit, right? But, really higher ups who aren't involved in all the thought that went into creating, like even just a headline or, particularly a long form sales page, which can be quite scary because you use a lot more of those persuasive techniques to actually sell a product, to move a product. And they get a little scared of it and they want to dilute it. And I heard one person at one point say that I was fear-mongering. I was like, what? Fear-mongering? I don't even quite know what that means, and it doesn't sound good, and I'm pretty sure I'm not doing it.
Don't sound like much of a fear-mongerer to me.
Oh, it can be very intimidating. No, I'm kidding. But I've seen that. I've been there. I've been through clients saying, no. The client that never has ever interfaced with me. I've never met them before. I've never spoken to them. I've never emailed with them. They don't know where I'm coming from. They're busy with other things, but they've been handed this page to give their quick feedback on. And I think that's the worst thing you can do when you're trying to get feedback on something. You need to control the environment in which that feedback is being solicited. So when you're presenting something to a client, I prefer to, of course, meet with them in person. Not in person, over the phone. I do everything remotely. But I think that it's worked best for me to begin by reiterating exactly what we did. It's going to take a little while to get through it, but here's why we made the decisions we made, and voila, here's the page. And if we're going to hand that off to somebody else, that's a little tricky. Thankfully, I work for startups primarily, and so I'm in and agencies. I work with agencies too, which mm-hmm. can be hard because they go and hand things off to the client. But I do like to, of course, control that environment in which I ask for feedback, present options. And I'm also a bit of a diva. I don't take on clients who are going to be... I mean, Don Draper is my favorite character since Mr. Darcy. And I think that he's... because he's like this really kick-ass, you know, copywriter, ultimately. And he says he knows what works. And I don't think that I'm Don Draper and I know what works, but I do think that there's a lot of good to be learned from saying, well, I'm sorry, we've agreed that you hired me for a reason. And you know, obviously this doesn't happen in the same conversation, right? I want to keep clients and keep them happy. But if it's just going to be a matter of them seeing me as a pair of hired hands, I'm not interested in that relationship. And that would be where I would terminate with a client and have done, and haven't taken on a client if it's appeared from the outset that it's going to go that route, right? The sense of being a hired hand, I'm not interested in that.
Well, let's say that I'm persuasive in my presentation and you're persuasive on your blog, and someone says, all right, I'm going to hire a copywriter to do this, but I don't want one of those corporate writers because I'm told I don't need those sorts of people. How do I pick someone like that? What questions do I ask, and what do I look at to say, all right, I picked the right copywriter?
Yeah, well, I think the best copywriters will have a portfolio of work that will include hopefully some test results. There are copywriters out there that can do that, that will have that, and even brand new copywriters who, you know, have just come out of whatever school or program that they took to get there, they can give their services away for free, build that up, right? They can go do that. They know they can do that. So to build their portfolio, I would say that I would only hire a copywriter. And in the past, I have only hired copywriters that have a solid portfolio that includes test results, or that blows my mind so crazily that I'm like, well, forget it. You haven't done a test. Okay, but you're clearly on the ball when it comes to headline writing or getting that button clicked or whatever it might be, or tapping into the real benefit. So that's cool. So I think getting a portfolio first and foremost is the most important thing. And then putting them through an exercise. Most copywriters will be willing to do that unless, you know, they're a bit of a diva. And sometimes I'm a bit of a diva too. So like for me, if you're hiring a copywriter, then I would put them through a test. Like, here's a website. Give me 5 headlines that are better than what you see here and tell me why.
The challenge I see is that you can have them do an exercise, but if I'm not a copywriter, I don't really know how to evaluate that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think it's a tell me why. Anybody can guess, right? And most people think that copywriting, generally, it's writing stuff down. It's writing. It's a very soft skill. So literacy doesn't equal ability to write copy. But that's kind of a hard message to get through, especially if you're, you know, dealing with some bigwigs who haven't unfortunately been brought around to the idea that copywriting is selling and there's a technique to it. And there are ways to do it right. And it's not just about writing a message down and making it sound clever, or making the copy sing, as I have heard many higher ups say before, make that copy sing, and it makes me cringe.
So let's talk about your process. I'm assuming that if you can choose your clients, and be sort of a diva, as you claim, that you have, and if you use test results as part of your sales process, and let me ask that question. Do you lead with test results and say, if you hire me, this client got these results, this client got these results, measurable? Are we talking about split test results?
Split test. I mean, there are some cases where, you know, a client didn't do a split test and instead it was more of a before and after, which is obviously, you know, not ideal. Or the client forecast this and we beat it by this much, or whatever it might be, right? Mm-hmm. So, but I do always lead with proof of some kind. that's ultimately the what's in it for me. It's just jumping that step beyond, right? It's what was in it for these guys. And don't you want to be like these guys? These guys got a great result. This is exactly the great result they got thanks to working with me. Voila. So that's what I try to do, is definitely lead with that. And I think that's important, because that's how you copyright too, right? You lead with either the benefit or some other sort of social proof, right? Like 100 million people use this service. That's a pretty solid headline, of course, with this service being filled in with something else.
Right.
You add a benefit in there, and now, you know, Bob's your uncle. It's awesome. And that's where I think a copywriter would be able to sell themselves that way too. If they lead with, I can do this, I can do that, blah, blah, blah. If it's always a me-focused message, then you can be pretty sure it's not the right copywriter to hire. But if it's my clients or the clients that I work with get this, you can expect that too. That's what I do.
Got it. Well, so I know that we're getting short on time.
Sure.
To kind of wrap things up, tell me what it is that you do, either from a prep standpoint or in terms of how you approach a persuasive, and let's stick to a persuasive situation where we're on a landing page or we're in an email or even in a pay-per-click ad, where we are enticing action or engagement, as you use in your definition. What do you think are the five things that you use to repeatedly have good test results?
Oh, wow. Okay, I have to write this down. To repeatedly have good test results. Wow. If I had that secret five-thing formula, that'd be incredible. No. So the process that I go to, and you're saying for a specific page, like we're not working on optimizing an entire flow or anything like that. It's one specific deliverable, one page, one ad, whatever it might be. Where do I start and how do I get there?
Yes.
Sure.
So let's assume it's a page rather than a flow.
Okay, so let's say in a perfect world then, where I am able to ask questions and get answers to them, I would begin by, of course, asking what we know about the visitors, the customers. And of course, I work on the web, so I'm just going to keep saying visitors. What do we know about the visitors?
Are you proficient in reading analytics and using that?
I wouldn't ever call myself proficient in that, because I know some pretty big nerds who are awesome at it. My partner is one of them. He worked with Avinash in the past, so he knows analytics big time. I can read through Google Analytics and figure it out and get through, obviously, reports, and I wouldn't ever want to work without data like that. But no, I'm not. I would never call myself proficient.
But good enough to draw some insights and know something about how you should approach with the copy.
Yeah, and to know what questions to ask, hopefully, to get down to the next level that I can't possibly understand myself. But yeah, I think so, definitely. So I would start there. Let's start by learning about the visitor, learning about what they're doing on the page, if we're optimizing a page. And of course, most importantly, this is the hardest one too, though, right, is learning why they're coming there, what their goal is, what's motivating them. So they may be coming there with the goal, and those are different things, I believe, right? So they're coming there with a goal of, they think it's a goal of researching a product that their boss wants them to research, if they're looking for enterprise level software or something. That's their goal when they come there. I'm going to get as much information as I can get about this product. So if we know that that's a goal, then that's going to be important, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, when we're working on the content for the page, the types of content that person might be looking for. But what's the real motivation? Are they looking to impress their boss? What do they really want to get out of this? Are they looking to, there's so many possible motivations there. And I don't think that you should necessarily get narrow with your messaging that reflects those motivations, but you have to have those, the various motivations of your most likely to convert visitors in mind when you're beginning work on the page. So who are your most likely to convert visitors? Who are those people? There's so much to learn there, right? Up front. Yeah. Sorry.
I was going to ask, do you do personas and things like that? Anything formal?
I know I do. My fatal flaw is that I like to get in there fast, and it feels like things that are like personas, if they're not already developed, you're going to have to hire someone to do that. I won't, I can't develop a persona. I have developed personas, but I wouldn't do it for a client who is like, I mean, I have a reputation on the line, right? There are things that I do very well, and I don't want to do things that I don't do well mm-hmm. in a kind of a half-assed sort of way, right? So I think that you'd have to go out and get someone who can do all the research it takes to develop a proper persona. But we can learn a bit about those key visitors, the ones that are the most likely to convert and be happy about converting on your site.
Gotcha.
Focus on those, yeah. So knowing that, learning about who those people are, what they're doing on the site, obviously what they're coming there for, and if they're able to complete that task, that's where we need to start with the data. So get that information, learn what's going basically wrong with the page, what's right with the page. And now comes the time to really dig into the product or the offering. So they are coming here with this goal. They want this goal. You may have this benefit that's a cool benefit for your product, but if it doesn't match what they're coming there for anyway, then we just know that we're not going to put that up at the top of the page. We're going to be able to start fleshing out, you know, so let's learn about your product, match it up with what the customers are coming there for, the visitors are coming there for, and then build out a hierarchy to understand, to make sure that the things that, okay, we know the customer is coming for this, and our product does this, perfect, we're good, match, let's put that up higher on the page, let's try that out, and begin wireframing that page. And I am also guilty of that, of jumping straight into putting words down as we learn about it and wireframing them, producing the actual, you know, information design.
Well, let's drill down on that real quick. So earlier you had said that the words, the design should be built around the words rather than the words fit into the design. Does the copy come before the wireframe, or the wireframe before the copy?
The copy before the wireframe, the copy at the same time as the wireframe, for me at least. And there may be other copywriters out there who can do it differently. I'm incapable of it. I've tried it. I've done the Word doc, but it's really hard for, especially when you're dealing with clients. It's hard for them to understand where those messages are going to go. Even if you make it a big, bold headline on a Word document, I've seen much better results when I present copy to a client in a proposed wireframe. And I use balsamic. It's not a great looking wireframe. Not that balsamic's not great looking, but it's not like super slick or anything. It is what it is, and it gets the job done fast and well. So I think when I'm doing it, happens at the same time, the copywriting. But when it comes down to actually writing the messages, so I've got all these different reports or whatever it might be off to the side, I've learned as much as I possibly can about the product and the customer. When it comes to actually writing it, though, yeah, it happens for me in the wireframe.
Do the best copywriters have some design expertise?
I think that the best web copywriters have to have an eye for user experience, for what users are going to go through, and what a visual designer is going to want to receive before he or she begins their work, too. I know that some get annoyed when some copywriter sends them a wireframe, but we just have a chat and it's all cool.
Yeah, you should see what they do when a conversion scientist sends them a wireframe. Dude, this is so boring. Yes, that's the point.
It's ugly. I get a lot of, there's a lot of resistance, right, mm-hmm. to certain things that, thankfully, we work in a world where we were provided with data up front, and we've also done other tests, so it's not just based on a guess. Generally speaking, you're not just going on a hunch or on gut about what you think feels good or what you think sounds good. It's based on everything you've seen so far. Thank God for all those thousands of hours of experience where you learned everything you weren't supposed to do, and now you come out on the better end where you know more about what to do and at least to test it. Now that was rambling for sure.
But I can tell you're a writer because you're always self-editing. Is there one thing that you think is just the must-have, that you could boil down to the must-have in almost every situation for persuasive copywriting, that you would say if you were to muck up everything else, if you get this right, it's a great start?
If you get your headline right, that's a great start. Now, getting the headline right is all the work that I just discussed. Mm-hmm. It takes that. But you can hack your way through it, and that's what Copy Hacker is really about, right? Just quickly read something on it. Thank God there are all sorts of blog posts out there. Not all, a whole caveat, don't read all of them and believe them instantly, because a lot of people are reading other people's stuff, and then, of course, as you know, just writing about it without really having done more than that, right? All those articles out there, people pay, you know, $50 to have somebody research and write. So nonetheless, you can, I believe, you can, if you can get 5 headline ideas based on what you know as a startup or whatever it is, narrow it down to 3, test those against each other. Ideally, right, I know you may not have traffic, blah, 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 there's all that terrible stuff, right, but do what you can to make sure you're showing the best possible headline to the visitors that you want to convert, which is usually all of them, so as much as you can show it. Get there. And you're already in a better state than a lot of even Fortune 500 companies, of course, that don't think the headline is really that important, that lead with
welcome
pricing as the catalog, right? As the catalog. Exactly. A welcome. Welcome to whatever. I don't want to say a word. I don't want to say a name.
Yeah. Well, let me slip one more question in before I let you go. How should I pay for a copywriter? Should I hire somebody by the word, by the page, by the hour, by the project? Or does it not matter?
I think you can hire somebody by the hour. Never by the – I wouldn't. I don't know why you'd hire them by the word. You just get a lot of words then, likely. So, and you may only need 5 words. So I would hire by the page. I do work on an hourly basis for things like a page. But then there are bigger projects, right, that are going to require more. And so I think either hourly or project is the way to go. And, of course, if you're going to hire one, make sure you look at their portfolio or some evidence that they know what they're doing, that they're not just – because I swear there are copywriters out there. God love them. But they're working from home. Fantastic. It's a great way to make money to work from home. And there's a sense that – as long as you can write, then you can write copy. But that's not true. So you do need to see solid evidence that they're worth the money. Even if it's $50, if it's $250 per hour, whatever it is, evidence, and then hire them on an hourly rate, get an estimate, or on a project rate. And again, of course, that comes with an estimate. Well, and don't pay $50 for a copywriter, because they're probably not going to be that good. So anyway. If you're getting an article, that's very different from getting someone who's going to write the page that's going to make you money. Your copywriter, if you hire a copywriter to write your homepage or any of the key pages, key landing pages on your site, and including up to like the receipt page, any of those, you need to be spending. This is an investment. This is a person who can actually help you get there, who can work with your team, who understands how SEO is going to have to factor in, but not overwhelm the page, who understands conversion, what users are looking for, everything, right? There's this whole huge world of information that feeds in to the copy on the page. And so hire someone, invest the money to get the right writer. Then you don't have to do it again. You don't have to keep guessing. You've got a solid writer there who knows what they're doing and can actually make you money.
So. Make you money. Do you write pay-per-click ads, by the way?
So I do, because PPC is generally about, oh God.
It's about headlines, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm pausing here because I feel like I'm going to get beat up for saying anything here, because to say, oh, it's generally about is like the beginning of the end for any state.
sound like you've been blogging.
But yeah, it is about getting them, compelling the user to click. And that's what most great web writing is about anyway, right? Mm-hmm. Calls to action. So I do it. I do prefer anywhere that I can test. So that's good.
Anywhere that I can test. That's interesting. Okay. Thank you so much for your time. It's been an interesting chat. Thank you so much. And I hope we have a chance to talk again. You can save $100 on the Conversion Conference by visiting the Conversion Scientist, www.conversionscientist.com, and clicking on the Conversion Conference badge.